Thank you, Father, for what you did for us, for giving Jesus to buy our freedom. Thank you, Father, that we can know that you want a relationship with each of us, and that you're calling us to that. Thank you for the price that was paid for each of us by the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, this morning we're just coming to you for who you are, for what you did for us. Just coming to glorify you. Thank you, Father, for your Son, for Jesus. Thank you that we can be in your house this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks. Have a seat. Morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. Jeez. Welcome in church. Nice to be back. Can I maybe ask, just quickly go to someone and greet someone that you haven't greeted this morning yet, please. So don't just greet the one next to you. Greet someone that you haven't greeted yet. Okay, don't go make coffee. Please come back. Leave the coffee. Okay, now that sounds better, don't you think? Anyone else excited to be here this morning? Okay. Yeah, so this morning what I want to do is I want to start by asking the question, why? I think so often we ask why. We ask the question just, you know, why? And I think so often things happen, bad things happen, and then we ask the question, but why? Why did this happen? Why did God allow this to happen? I don't know if it's only me or you as well, that sometimes some things happen, and we ask, but Lord, why? So this morning what we're going to do is, we're going to talk a little bit around that, and the thing is, I think what we must realize from the start is not always when something happened we'll be able to answer that question and to say, but this is why it happened. Because God is so much bigger than us. His ways is so much bigger than us. So it's impossible for us to understand why everything He does, why He does it. And I think the important thing to realize and to remember if we think about it, if bad things happen, is to basically not question God's heart, not think, but this happened because He don't love me, or because He don't care, because He do care, and He do love us. And like I said, but we don't always understand why certain things happen. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at a certain part of Scripture, and when we look at that Scripture, we're going to ask the question, why? Because by looking at that Scripture and by talking about it, we might understand why those things happen. Because I think a lot of times, especially the Scripture we're going to read this morning, is something happened thousands of years ago, and even today we still sit with the consequences of the choices that those people made back then. And I think then you can ask the question, but why? Lord, why did this happen? Why did you allow this? Why didn't you stop this? So what we're going to do is we're going to start right at the beginning. We're going to Genesis 2, and we're going to read verse 15 to 17. So I think you know what I'm referring to when we go to Genesis 2. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. And then we can go to Genesis 3 from verse 1 to 6. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden. Neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Now, I almost want to say, just before I go into the sermon, while preparing, I really felt that God has a word for someone here this morning, so I just want to share that. And it refers to this part of Scripture. If you look at the Scripture, did God say that you're not allowed to touch that fruit of that tree? No. God said you're not allowed to eat that fruit. But when Eve, when she talked to the devil, to the snake, to Satan, when she talked to him, she said, he said, that we're not even allowed to touch it. But that's not what God said. And the reason why she's saying that is because that's her interpretation of what God said. Because God never spoke to her about it. He spoke to Adam about it. And Adam spoke to her. In the same way this morning, if to try and explain it, if I go to Philip and I whisper something in his ear and tell him, I can just whisper that to the one next to you and the one next to you and carry on like that. The message coming out in the back, I don't know if you guys did this when you were in primary school, we did. So the message coming out in the back, if I ask Adrian, listen, what did I say? The thing that he said will be whole different than what I said to Philip. And what it shows us is the danger of not hearing from the one we are supposed to hear from. And the word I've got for, like I said, I don't know who it is, but I really felt that God said there's someone here this morning that needs to hear this, is that, it's got nothing to do with my sermon, is that you need to hear from God. If you're in a place of going to people trying to find out what God is trying to tell you, to go to people so that God can give you direction of where to go or what to do, you're going to miss him. You need to go to God. God has got a desire to talk to you and have a relationship with you. God has a desire to give you advice on where you should go and what you should do. So stop asking people and looking to people for that direction, but go to God. So I don't know who that's for. Just want to put it out there. So back to the sermon. Earlier this week, everyone think we had a two-week holiday. We had a holiday for a week, and then we were on mission for a week. But for me, missions is like a holiday. So, while we were on holiday, earlier this week, actually, we were sitting around the fireplace. And while sitting there, Mark was walking there with his son, Joshua. Mark is the worship leader in Swakopmund. And Joshua, his son, is small, starting to walk that age. And I was sitting there and I was watching Joshua walking there in the sand, and Mark was following him. But it was like all the time while Joshua is walking, you know, that trying to put his feet and to keep on up straight and that kind of stuff, Mark was just walking behind him. It's like he was a meter behind him all the time, just going where he's going, just watching him and so on. And while I was sitting there, I just experienced the Holy Spirit prompting me in my spirit and saying, but that's what I do with you. While you're out there walking, I'm always right behind you. I'm always following in your footsteps, looking over you. And while I'm there, I'm watching over you. I'm looking at the things you do, at the steps you're taking, but also like a good father at the mistakes that you are making. And I'm always there deciding whether I should intervene or not. I'm not just going to keep you up all the time, because there's certain things you need to learn. And by thinking about it, of that picture of what I saw about Mark and his son, God made me understand something. And that is that if you think about Mark walking there, following his son, if Mark is in that place of keeping his son up all the time, preventing him from falling, his son will never learn to walk properly. He will never learn the consequences of falling. He will never learn what it means to get back up again. He will never learn what pain is and how to deal with it. And he'll miss the heart of his father. Because once that son falls and marks the closer, he'll show compassion to his son. So by keeping him up, he will never learn what compassion is from his father. And therefore, a good father, your place is not to keep your son up all the time. It's about allowing him to take the steps he's supposed to take so that he can learn. And it's exactly the same with God in his relationship with us. So, with that picture in mind of God standing behind us, following us, being right behind us all the time, I thought about this story in the Garden of Eden. I thought about Adam and Eve being in the garden, and I realized, okay, but, you know, God knew Satan was there. He knew it. While the snake was tempting Eve, talking to her, God was right there in the garden. He wasn't somewhere else, busy with something else, didn't know what's going on. He was right there behind her, looking over her. While she had that conversation with Adam, God was there, listening to that conversation, allowing this to happen. And that's the kind of place where I want to ask the question then, but why? Lord, why? Why did you allow this? Because can you imagine what life would have been if in that moment God stepped in and said, no, Satan, go. Don't eat. I told you not to eat. You're not going to eat it. Satan, go. You realize how different life would have been? Can you imagine what life would have been like? We all of us still would have been in the Garden of Eden, isn't it? But now the thing is, we ask the question, okay, but Lord, why? Why did you allow this? And to answer this question, I think what's important for us is to look at the bigger picture. To realize, okay, but God's ways is different than our ways. Because you see, we get caught up in these little situations where something happened, and Lord, why didn't you this and that? Because this situation could have been different. Everything could have been different. But with God, what he does when he looks at this kind of thing is the picture of what he's looking at is so much different, so much bigger than the picture that we are looking at. So basically, to answer this question, of Lord, why did this happen? We first need to look at why were we created, because that's the bigger picture. Why were we created? What is our purpose? What's the purpose that Adam and Eve was created for? What's the purpose that me and you are created for? And to answer that question of why are we created and what is our purpose, we're going to go right to the beginning in Genesis, to the place where God created us. Genesis 1 from verse 26. This is a beautiful piece of scripture. From verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has a breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was every evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Why were we created? We were created to rule over all of creation. That's your purpose. That's what you're created for. That's what Adam and Eve was created for. To rule over all of creation. Now, if God stepped in that moment in the Garden of Eden, would we ever learn that there's consequences to the decisions that we make? If God stepped in there, every time that we make a wrong decision, every time that Satan comes and tempts us, if God steps in that moment, will we ever know what it means to have dominion over him, to rule over him, to have authority over him? No, we won't. Because you see, when it comes to the place of understanding that there's consequences of the decisions we make, if it comes to that place where we need to stand up against Satan, it's important for us to take up that authority that was given to us. And something else I think so often that we miss is that God gave us authority. That means he came to us and said, you've got all authority. And it's not every time that we're going to make a wrong decision and so on, just going to step in and take back the authority and use his authority again. He gave you the authority. And the reason why, like with Mark and his son, why he leaves us to make decisions, why he allows us to fall, is so that we can be trained to overcome, so that we can be trained to take up authority and to rule over what he has given us. I want to share a story with you about two business owners. They said there's two business owners. Now, the one owner, what he does is he gets up very early in the morning. And then he goes to his business. And when he gets there, he walks through the business looking at all the equipment and machines and stuff that he's got, making sure everything is working properly. While he's there, at some stage, his workers will come in. When they're all there and all together, he'll call them together, and he'll explain to them what is supposed to happen during that day, what is expected from each of them. And then later during the day, as things go on, he will go out to his clients, go see the clients, make sure everyone is happy, everything is sorted, people are happy with the service, with the products and everything. And then there's another business owner. Now, this other business owner, what he does is some stage during the morning he gets to his business. And when he gets there, everything is up and running. So there's no time to ask the people to stop and to get together and that kind of thing. He gets there, and on his way there, it's like getting out of his car, walking to the office, and while walking there, people start to run to him, saying, listen, this machine broke. There's a problem here. There's a problem there. So immediately what he does, he go and he start to try and sort out things, to fix the machines and get everything up and running again. While busy doing that, people start to phone him, clients start to phone him, complaining about products they haven't received or the quality of the products that's not up to standard, that kind of thing. And he'll go out and try and keep them happy, sort them out, that kind of thing. You see, only one of these two business owners understands stewardship. And the other one is spending his time, I almost want to say spending life, just trying to sort out problems, trying to get through life, to get through the day, to sort out problems. And the main difference between the two of them is one is ruling over his business. And in the case of the other one, his business is ruling over him. Of course, he's not ruling it. So which one are you? Are you ruling over life? Or is life ruling over you? Because you see, when it comes to this, we are called to rule over life. God gave us the authority to rule over all of his creation. He gave us the authority to do that. And if we don't take up that authority and do it, something else will rule over us. And you'll go through life just being busy to sort out problems, to run from the one problem to the next, to try and sort things out. But it's because you did not take up authority. It's because you did not walk into that place of taking the authority that God gave you and ruling over his creation. The whole of creation is waiting for me and you to get into that place of taking up authority. My favorite scripture in the Bible is Romans 8, verse 18. I'm going to read it up until verse 23. For I can consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. That the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Creation waiting on us to take in that place what God has called us for. You see, even creation is tired of being a slave to circumstances. Even creation wants to glorify God in the way it's supposed to. In the way that creation was called to glorify God. Another scripture is Luke 10, verse 18 and 19. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Talking about snakes and scorpions, I know some people take this literally, but when he talks about serpents, he's talking about Satan. He's given us authority over Satan, over serpents and scorpions. those things that sting, that causes pain. He gave us authority over those things. So God, throughout Scripture, telling us to take our place, what we were created for. Now the question we might ask then is, okay, but this is very exciting to realize that God has called us for so much more. He called us to that place of taking up authority and to rule over His creation. But where to start? If you think about that, where are we supposed to start? James 4 verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Where to start? Submit yourselves therefore to God, number one. Number two, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's authority. Authority is a place where the devil flee from you. If you're taking up authority and you walk into a room, the devil walk out of the room. That's authority. Now the thing is, what we need to understand is that, what does it mean, or the question we must ask, what does it mean to submit ourselves therefore to God? It means submitting ourselves to His will. It means obedience. It means doing what He's asking us to do, what He's calling us to do. It's walking into that place, what He called us for. And the thing we need to realize when we look at this, when we say submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So often I think what we think is, when we talk about authority, is we think, okay, so the louder I pray, the more authority I've got. If I stamp my feet, Satan is under my feet, and I proclaim it. That's not what Scripture says. That's not what Scripture says. It says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Not see if you can scream harder or louder than he, or sing the songs where the devil is under your feet, and then he will flee. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. What does that mean? What it means is that when Satan comes to you, tempting you with something, to sin, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you can't rule over Satan in your own life, in your own flesh, don't try and go out and take up the authorities over towns, because you'll get into trouble. The beginning place of where we need to start, if God calls us and He says, submit yourselves therefore to God, step into obedience. Do what God is asking you to do. Resist the devil. So when temptation comes, say no. When He's telling you to sin, choose to say no. That's how you resist the devil. And when you resist the devil, he will flee from you. You see, so often we think it's about the words that we use when we pray. Like I said, how loud we pray and that kind of stuff. But it's not about that. It's about living a holy life. If I think about Jesus, you can think about the scriptures of where Satan tempted him in the wilderness. Interesting thing there is, Satan was talking to him and promising him what? Authority over what was his. Remember? He told Jesus, if you bow down to me, I'll give you authority. The interesting thing, to get that authority, you actually need not to bow down. So interesting, the same thing that God, or that Satan used or tried to use to tempt him with, Jesus with. It's the same thing that we need to look out for today. But what happened when Jesus resisted the devil there in the wilderness? the devil fled from him. He left. And Jesus' ministry started there. It's like something changed there in the wilderness. And it's because that even Jesus in that space took up all the authority that was given to him. Satan could see it and fled. And it's exactly the same with me and you. We can listen to a lot of sermons, a lot of teachings. We can understand the concept of authority. But if we don't come to that place of resisting the devil when he tempts us, you'll never be able to step into that place of authority which you were called for. Now, the thing about stepping into that place, the thing about getting to that place where we take up authority, where we get to that place practically, where we get to that place of saying no to the devil, we can only do that because of what Jesus did. We can only have the strength to do that because of what Jesus did, because of the cross, because of grace. There's no other reason why we can do that. And that's why it's important for us that when we get to that place of even deciding, but I want to take up authority in my own life. I'm going to start there. I'm going to take up authority in my own life to resist the devil. But being honest, I'm struggling. There's certain things that I'm doing and I'm struggling to break loose from that. So what we need to do is we need to go to the cross first. We need to go to Jesus, repent our sins, and ask him for forgiveness, and he'll forgive you that moment. But we can't do that and continue with our sin. We need to break from it. Because once we break with it, we step into that place of authority. I want to give you some biblical examples of what it means when we talk about people taking up authority over creation. What does it look like? What's it supposed to look like? People taking up authority over creation. An example, if you look in the Bible, you'll see the prayers of a lot of mighty men and how that prayers changed things. A good example for me is Elijah, that prayed that the rain must stop. And the rain stopped for 3.5 years until he asked that it must rain again. That is someone taking up authority over creation. And you know what? Creation glorifying Christ. Another example is Joshua. Joshua asked that the sun and the moon should stand still. And he did for a whole day. Someone taking authority over creation and God being glorified by his creation. Then we can go to examples of healings. I don't have to read the scriptures for you. The Bible is full of scriptures of people receiving healing. What is people receiving healing? It's where someone prayed for them. It's where God healed those people. But that is someone taking authority over God's creation, is it not? Didn't Jesus say in his name, we will heal the sick? Didn't Jesus say in his name, we will cast out demons? And that everything is under our feet. You see, he called us to rule over his creation, or over all of his creation. I'm going to tell you a story. Once I had received a phone call of someone saying, but they've got a problem. There's someone that and the devil is manifesting through him. And they asked me to please come and help and so on. So what I did is I took two of the guys with me in church. It was the first time for them. So I took two guys with me, and the three of us, we went there. And the moment we stepped into that room, the guy was sitting there. He's a big guy. He's bodybuilding equipment was standing in the corner. And he was sitting on the bed, and we walked into that room, and he started to laugh. But I immediately could see this is not him. This is a demon manifesting. And he asked me, "So what do you think you're going to do today?" At some stage during that morning, he got up from bed and he broke that double bed. And he came up to us standing face to face like this, tempting us with fear. But the word says, if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. And what happened in that moment while we're standing there, I told him, you know, Scripture says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. So in his name, go on your knees. And he bowed down. He got down onto his knees. And what I did, and that's the interesting thing, you can ask that to other guys. We didn't scream. We didn't stamp our feet. Do you know what we did? We took up authority by sharing the word of God. And what we did is with that guy that was demon-possessed at that stage, all I did is I told him how Jesus saw him. I told him what Jesus did for him, the price that was paid for him. And while doing that, the demon started to scream and begging me to stop. The demon starts to cry and ask me, "Stop. Don't say that." Why? Because the word, the truth, will set you free. And that demon left that guy there in that room after breaking windows and doing all kind of other stuff. But you need to resist the devil. And he will flee from you. But we can't walk into a room trying to be a macho man or whatever with demons and those kind of things and sin ruling in our lives. We can't do that. Because like I said, the place of starting to taking up your authority is in our own lives. In that place where no one sees. Yes, and I know you can tell me now, but what about grace? Yes, God has got grace for each of us. And you know, we can come to God just the way we are, with all our sins and everything, and ask Him for forgiveness, and He will forgive you. And one day will come, and you'll probably go to heaven. But you were called for more than that. So often what we think is salvation, this is where it all ends. But salvation is the place where it all starts. It's not the end. That's the beginning. We weren't called only to that place. Basically what happens on this earth is whole. Everything we do on this earth, everything we go out to do, is training for the life that follows this one. Didn't Jesus say that He'll go to prepare a place for us? Didn't He say that we'll be seated in heavenly places? You see, we've been called to rule over His creation. Because by that, He is glorified. Saskia, can you guys come to the front, please? So by that, Jesus is being glorified. And I think so often we miss the day because we think, okay, but now I'm saved, so this is enough, but it's not enough. Do you really want to glorify Christ? Then you need to move from that place to a place of authority, of where we take up the authority that was given to us. I think all of us, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, when we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit, we think that we're all called to that. We all are called to that place where people one day will be healed in our shadows. And yes, I do believe we are all called to that place. But it's not just going to happen one day. It's not a thing of we're waiting for a certain season, and when that season comes now it starts to happen. It doesn't work that way. It's about taking up authority. You see, the word don't say that all of creation is waiting on God for this next season. The word says that all of creation is waiting on the sons of God. Not on God, on the sons of God. So we shouldn't be waiting for God to come and do something. He already gave you the authority. So what you need to do is you need to go out and step into that place. And this morning what I want to do is I want to call each of you out to that place of taking up authority. And like I said, taking up authority doesn't only mean I stand up and I raise my hand and I said, Lord, here I am. And today I'm taking up my authority. So now I can walk out of this door and I've got the authority. If that was the way it happened, I invite you all to hospital after church and to go heal the sick. So why can't we just say, okay, take up the authority, go to the hospital and heal all the sick? It's because there's more than that. He's calling us to holy lives. He's calling us to a place of dying in ourselves. He's calling us to a place of laying down what's important to us. Matthew 6:33 says, first seek the kingdom of God and all the rest will be given to you. But so often what we do in life is we go out and we are focused on all the rest. We are chasing down all the rest because I need this house. I need this car. I want to be known by people. So we go out and we go chase all those things. And we can't understand, but Lord, why my spiritual life? Why is it, Lord, that while I'm out there and I can see you blessing my business and everything, but I'm not walking in authority? If I pray for people for healing, nothing happens. It's because he didn't call us for that. He called us for his kingdom. And while seeking his kingdom, he will bless you in the other areas of your life. Those other things will come. But you first need to seek his kingdom. You first need to die in yourself. You know that place of putting your own flesh on the cross. When Satan comes and tempts you with something, keep putting an idea in your head to do something, to sin, say, no, it's not about me. It's not about my flesh. I choose in this situation to rule over Satan. So therefore I say no. And he'll try you again and again. And at some stage he will flee from you. Because we think authority is that place of saying. But authority is not a place of saying. Authority is a place of living. It's a place where we live a life of ruling over sin, over our flesh. Not giving our flesh what our flesh is asking for. That's not authority. We need to lay down our own flesh. And it's not easy. And therefore we take it one step at a time, one day at a time. If I look at the places where I came from, I can't believe I'm standing here today. If 15 years ago someone said to me, this is where you're going, I would have said it's impossible. But But because I took one step at a time, one day at a time, and because God was there, that meter behind me all the time, I can stand here today. Because of what Jesus did on the cross for me, there's grace for me. I was able to break of so many things that held me back. And even today and this morning, I choose to take up the authority that was given to me. Sickness. All those kind of things. To stand up in the morning and say, Father, you gave me authority to rule over your creation. I'm part of your creation. Therefore, I can tell sickness in my body to leave in Jesus' name. And it will leave. But calling for holy, obedient lives. Because only once we die, God starts to be glorified through us. Because only once we die, He can start to live through us. And I think one of the biggest, I don't have it in here, but I think one of the biggest problems in our time today is things like pride and things like greed. And why I say this, if I think about Adam and Eve, if I think about Satan, Satan was a worship leader in heaven. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Why was Satan kicked out? Why were they told to leave? Not being satisfied with what they received. Wanting more. Satan was in the place, it's not enough for me to be a worship leader in the throne room of God. I want more than that. That's greed. It's the first sin in all creation. Eve, Garden of Eden, not being satisfied with what was given to me, I want more. I want what God has. Greed. If they in those places, I almost want to say, that to left that place is because of greed. Shouldn't we look in our own lives for the same things? Wanting more. And so often when we say it, we think, okay, but so he's talking about don't want another car, don't want a better house. What about spiritual? What about in church? If only our church, if only my cell leader, not satisfied with what I've got, wanting more, if only our pastor, God will only increase what He's given you once you're in that place of being satisfied with what He's given you, not before that. And even with our spiritual gifts, nothing wrong with saying, Lord, we want more of you. Nothing wrong with saying, Lord, I want to get closer to you. But looking at the gifts of others, say, Lord, I want what He's got. That's greed. We need to be satisfied with God, what God chose to give to us. So what I want to ask you to do, all of you, just stand where you're at. Just stand up, please. And close your eyes. Do you want to start this morning to get into that place of authority? Do you want this morning to be the starting point, to be a change in your life? Do you want this morning to be that moment in time where everything changed? Because it can be like that. Like I said, it's all about taking up authority. And that's not a simple prayer of saying, Lord, okay, I'm taking up authority now. It's a place of going where you say, Lord, here I am. With all my sin, with everything that's going on in my life. And this morning, I choose to lay this down in front of you. This morning, I choose to give this to you. It's a place of repentance. So what I want to ask you to do is just while you're standing there with your eyes closed, I'm not calling you to the front or anything. I just want to ask you to talk to God. And you know what's going on in your life. He also knows, because he's standing there right beside you. And he always was. So while you're standing there, I want to ask you to just give that things to God in this moment. Just stand there, pray, talk to God, and tell him what's standing between you and him, and give it to him. Just while you're standing there. This morning, Jesus is inviting you to the cross. You know, I got saved 14 or 15 years ago. And Jesus turned my life upside down. But a couple of months before that, a couple of months before my salvation, I also tried to give my heart to Jesus. Choose to follow Him. But I wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit. And what happened is in my flesh, I tried very hard to break with sin and to change my life. I wasn't able to. And the reason for that is because we can't change our lives without Jesus, without His Spirit. You can try like I did, but it didn't work. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve gave the authority that God gave them to Satan. Jesus had to go to the cross, and literally from there to hell and back, to take back the authority that was given to us. And the moment we meet Him at the cross, He can give that authority back to us. To rule over Satan, over the sin in our lives, with the help of His Holy Spirit. Because we can't do it without Him. I think we all know each other here this morning, but if there's anyone here that say that, but I've never invited Christ into my life, I want to ask you to quickly come to the front, because that's a starting place of everything. Secondly, maybe you say, but you know, you've got Christ in your life, but you're not sure if you're Spirit-filled. Without His Spirit, it's impossible to change your life. I want to say it again, without His Spirit, it's impossible to change your life. Is there anyone here that you're not sure that you are Spirit-filled? If there's anyone here that's not sure if you've got the Holy Spirit in your life or not, I also want to invite you to come to the front this morning just to receive the Holy Spirit. Anyone else? You're not sure? You want to come to the front and just receive the Holy Spirit this morning? Adrian and Paul will pray for you guys just to receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, don't focus on them. Focus on God. Think about Jesus on the cross. Think about what Jesus did for you. The price that He paid for you. To be free, not to be a slave, but to be free. Because God called us to this place. God called you this morning to be here. Because you want to bring change in your life. Thank you, Father, that we can be in your house this morning. Thank you, Father, for the privilege to be here. Thank you, Father, that this morning we can declare that You are the beginning and You are the end. Father, this morning we just want to declare that You are the Alpha and You are the Omega. Father, we just declare that You are the starting place of everything. We want to declare this morning, Father, that we give our lives to You. We put our lives in Your hands and we belong to You. We want to ask You, Father, that You will come and that You will rule in our lives. We want to ask You, Father, that You will be glorified through us, through everything we do. Father, we choose this morning to lay down our lives and to put it in Your hands. Thank You, Father, that we can trust You with our lives. Thank you, Father, that we can know that everywhere we go and everything we do, you'll always be there right beside us, watching over us, looking out for us. Thank you, Father, that we can know that you love us and that you care for us, that our life's got a purpose. Father, we want to ask you to help us to walk into that place where that purpose in our lives can be fulfilled and you be glorified. Thank you, Father, that we can know that giving our lives to Jesus, giving our lives to you, it's only the starting point. It's not the end. Thank you, Father, that we can know that your ways are so much bigger than ours. But Father, we're just submitting ourselves to you. And we're asking you, Father, to give us the strength to resist the devil day by day. In everything we do, in every choice we make, give us the strength and the wisdom to resist the devil. And Father, when we fail, thank you that we can still come back to you. Thank you, Father, that we can still say sorry, Lord, and you forgive us. But thank you, Father, for calling us to be sons of the Most High God, to be your sons. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray it. Amen. I want to ask if there's anyone else that wants prayer for anything, whether it's healing or filled by the Spirit or anything else, please come to the front. The rest of you, there's coffee and tea in the back. But go out and glorify Christ in everything you do, in every choice you make. So just be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.